All right, how's everybody doing today? Great to see you guys. Awesome. Hey, would you please help me welcome in all of our Celebration Church locations, extension services, extension gatherings, overseas, in the jails, military bases, all around the world, or if you're watching online. Come on, church, let's welcome them into the service. We are so glad that you're with us today. If you have your Bibles, I want you to go to the book of Colossians chapter 1. I want you to camp there for just a few minutes. I'm not going to keep you long tonight. And I want to talk to you about hope today. How many of you know that we need hope in our community? We need hope in our world. So I want to talk to you about hope tonight. You know, hope is the confident expectation of what is sure. And in our kind of modern day culture, in our society, hope has kind of lost its meaning in terms of what it actually means in the Bible. The biblical definition of hope is so different than, you know, kind of the way we use the word hope today. You know, when we think of hope, we're like, man, I hope the Jaguars make the playoffs. Or some of you are thinking, I hope we have pizza tonight. You're thinking, man, I hope Stovall will not preach too long. And the kind of the way we use the word hope is really just kind of like a wish. It's kind of like a want, we hope. But the Bible definition is so different. And we're going to kind of dig into that tonight as we are in this series where we're talking about attitude. And we're talking about attitudes that make our faith grow. A lot of times we talk about what faith is, how to use our faith, but there's certain attitudes that you have to have that are interconnecting with your faith, where your faith is just not going to work and you're not going to grow in your relationship with God unless you have these right attitudes and understandings. And hope is one of those things. As I said, a biblical definition of hope is a confident expectation of what is sure. And so when you're reading hope, or you're reading God's word, and there are so many verses about hope, and hope is such a big topic of the Bible, you need to read it with that filter and that definition in mind. It is a confident expectation of what is sure. So let me give you a few scriptures here, and then we'll get down to Colossians chapter 1. First of all, Ephesians 4:4. This will be in your daily Bible reading tomorrow. Pick up your Bible reading tabs. If you hadn't been here in a while, we're in Numbers and Ephesians. Tomorrow you'll read Ephesians chapter 4, and in there it says, there is one body and one spirit, just as you were called in one hope of your calling. Everybody say hope. So what it's talking about here is that you can have a confident expectation that there is a call of God on your life. It is absolutely sure that God has called you. It is absolutely sure that God has a plan for your life. When we talk about the hope of our calling, there is a confident expectation of that is absolutely sure. It is absolutely true. God is not a man that he should lie. God has set his word above his name. God has a call on your life. He has a plan for your life, and he has not given up on you. So don't you give up on him. You've got to have hope. Look at this, Romans 15:13. It says, now may the God of hope, God describes himself as the God of all hope, the God of where all of your confident expectations, he will fulfill those. The God of hope, fill you with all joy and peace in believing so that you may abound in hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. God doesn't just want you to have hope, not just to walk in hope. He wants you to abound in hope. How many of you will agree this is a little bit lacking in our country? I don't see a lot of people abounding in hope. And here's what the Bible is saying here. Look, if you will allow God to ignite hope in your life and you begin to abound in hope, you will have joy and peace in believing, not just in receiving. See, as Christians, a lot of times we tie joy and peace into receiving. Oh, when we receive the solution to this problem, when we receive this blessing, or we receive this miracle, God is saying that hope is such a sure thing that you will have joy in the journey. You will have joy and peace in believing, not just in receiving. He wants you to have joy in your journey with him, regardless of the current circumstance or difficulty you are in life. Look what Romans 5:4-5 says. It says, now hope does not disappoint, because the love of God has been poured out in our hearts by the Holy Spirit who was given to us. So here's what we understand about biblical hope. It will never disappoint. How many of you know that people will disappoint you? Things, just the cards that life deals you every now and then, that will disappoint you. People will disappoint you. Even friends disappoint you. Even people that you love and people that you that love you, they are going to disappoint you from time to time because we're all human and prone to failure. Things will disappoint you. The government will disappoint you. I mean, our government, I know you've been following the news. They just downgraded our credit rating. Can I give you some good news? God's credit rating is still good. God's credit rating is just fine. And even though the stock market and our economy might disappoint you right now, I will tell you this. If you will put your hope in God, He will never disappoint you. And God's economy is above any economy of the world. God's got everything you need. He's got more than enough. He's not confused. His hands are not tied. He knows how to provide for you and your family. But you got to let hope come alive. You can't allow the things of this world to push you down. Jeremiah 29:11, a lot of us are familiar with this verse. For I know the thoughts that I think towards you. Have you ever just thought about that? God's saying, for I know the thoughts that I think towards you. It's almost kind of like he's baiting us. So what God's saying, look, I know the thoughts that I think towards you. So you need to figure out those thoughts that I have towards you. How do we do that? We do that by renewing our mind in His Word. That's where hope comes alive. God says, look, I know the thoughts that I think towards you, and you can read about all those thoughts in the Word. Come on, that's why we're so big on devotion and daily Bible reading here at Celebration Church. That's why I'm constantly hounding you. Read your Bible, read your Bible, read your Bible. The B-I-B-L-E, it's the book for you and me. If you don't read your Bible, you'll be sad. If you don't read your Bible, you'll be mad. I'll bust around every time on a dime. Easy. All right, so. I want to talk to you tonight for the next few minutes. I want to talk to you about living in hope. Not just having hope, not just walking in hope. Living in hope. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your word for these next few minutes. God, I thank you that hope is going to come alive in every heart, through every person that's hearing this message right now or that will ever hear this message in the future. God, we give you all the thanks. We give you all the praise in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. So hope is the confident expectation of what is sure. I want you to think about that. Do you have a confident expectation? See, or do you have, here's where hope begins to work. You have to have confidence in the Word of God that what God says is true. It's the confident expectation of what is sure. How many of you know that God's Word is sure? This is what He's given us. This is the only thing. Heaven and earth may pass away, but Jesus says, my Word will never pass away. This is the absolute surety that we have in life. So when we see things in God's Word, and it says things like, therefore there is no condemnation for those in Christ Jesus. So that means this, you've accepted Jesus Christ. Are you really confident that all of your sins are forgiven, past, present, and future? Are you really confident in the fact that God's mercy has been extended to you with no qualifications other than you placing faith in Jesus Christ and what He did on the cross for you? Are you confident about when the Bible talks about the goodness of God, that the favor of God is on your life, that you're the apple of God's eye, that God's love is unconditional? Are you confident? See, the Bible says, Jesus says, when you know me, you'll know the truth, and the truth will set you free. But it's not just the truth that we can mentally assent to, but it's the truth that we understand and have confidence in. So what happens is, when I become confident in God's words, I know my thoughts that I think towards you. So we need to find out those thoughts. when you become confident in God's word, when you're sure about what God says about himself, how much he loves you, when you're confident that what God says about you is true, that you're his son, that you're his daughter, that he has a plan for your life, that he has a call for your life, that your mistakes cannot negate the promises of God. Oh, they might delay them. Oh, they might cause you and some other people more pain than is necessary, but your mistakes cannot negate the promises of God. The gifts and calling of God are without repentance. You've got to be sure in those things. When you're sure in those things, you have a confidence. And all of a sudden, a hope springs up on the inside that is not subject to the seasons of life. It's not subject to what kind of mood you're in or how you feel. Feelings, nothing more than feelings. We've got to know, or we've got, it's not about, we got to have confidence that what God says about us and how much he loves us, his thoughts towards us, we have to have a confidence that those things are sure and true. That's where hope springs up. Hope is not only a confident expectation, but hope is also a picture. Hope is a picture of your preferred future. How many of you have a preferred future? I'll tell you this, whether you raise your hand or not, everybody has a preferred future. You have a future state, a future place. You have a future when it comes to your life, who you want to be, when it comes to your family, your relationships, when it comes to your career, when it comes to your marriage, when it comes to your kids, when it comes to your financial situation. All of us have a preferred future. So here's the key. When we talk about biblical hope is a picture of a preferred future that does not diminish with the changing moods and seasons of life. It is the vision that you have for your life based on God's promises and his unchanging, unconditional love for you. It is what would delight God and be the optimum plan for your life and future. It's not based on the world and what's changing and shifting all the time and your moods and the seasons of life and things like that. It's based on what never changes, and that is God's unconditional love for you and his word. And once that hope springs up, all of a sudden we can begin to paint a picture of what we want our life to be like. Now, here's the deal. It can't be just, you know, whatever picture. That's why the Bible says, delight yourself in the Lord and he will give you the desires of your heart. But we know what God's word says about our lives, how he wants to bless our family, how he has a purpose for us. This is what the Bible calls going from faith to faith or glory to glory. It's like this. You have a picture of your preferred future. It would delight God. It's based on the promises of God and the word of God and you being everything that God's called you to be. You follow that picture, it takes you to a level, and then all of a sudden there's another picture. You go from faith to faith. You go from glory to glory. You keep increasing in the things of God, and you keep following that preferred future for your life. And guess where it ends? Either when Jesus comes back or when you die. And the Bible says when we see him, we will be like him, and all of a sudden we will be transformed and in total unity with the person who is hope itself. Because the foundation of hope and the person of hope is Jesus. All hope starts with that foundation. It starts with the foundation of this. Man, my life is not here in this world. My life is in heaven. I have an eternal mindset. Jesus has forgiven me all of my sins. My life is short and but a vapor on this earth, so I'm going to live for eternity. That is my end view. That is my hope that cannot be shaken in Jesus Christ. But because the Bible says the kingdom of God is here and the kingdom of God is now, I hope you don't think that your relationship with Jesus is just so, you know, you could be saved and not go to hell, and now you're just going to go into survival mode while you're here on earth. See, that's what the enemy wants to do. He wants to come in, man. He wants to beat you down. He wants to get you thinking like we talked about last weekend with the children of Israel. Just take another lap. You failed too many times. You made too many mistakes. Or you've wanted this thing to change for so long and it's never changed. So you give up and you lose hope. And now your faith. Yes, you're saved. Yes, you're going to heaven. Yes, you come to church. But now your faith is not living and active like God wants it to be because you've lost hope. Listen, don't lose hope. God has not given up on you. There is nothing that is too hard for God. God is bigger than any problem that you have, any mistake that you have made, any past failure that you have. I don't care what you are dealing with right now. God wants you to have hope because He is bigger than that thing. You've got to get that picture back again of your preferred future, and you got to go after that in the purposes and promises of God. You've got to get it back. And unfortunately, there's so many people in the church and in the body of Christ, they've lost hope. And they're just so depressed and they're so discouraged and they're so despondent. And we're just like the rest of the world. And all we're trying to do, we're focusing on our little problem. We have no eternal mindset. We have no big picture hope. We have no understanding that greater is He who is in us, the hope of glory, than he who is in the world. And so we're living like everybody else, and we're self-absorbed and me-focused and me-istic. I tried to make up a word, me-istic. And we're just going around trying to solve our own little problems. And who doesn't like me today? And who am I going to get back? And why did so-and-so do that? And I need more money. And it's the government's fault. And everybody's out to get me. Can I help you? I'm going to give you some advice here. This is better therapy than Dr. Phil. You ready? And this is for free, except you need a tithe at the end of the service so you can have hope for your finances. Let me tell you something about problems. You ready for this? You will always have problems. Always. Jesus says, in this world, you're going to have tribulation. Can I tell you this? I'll tell you this. If you're a believer, Let me help the body of Christ out right now. I'll tell you this. In fact, if you are a believer, if you are a follower of Christ, it's very likely you will have more problems. Because the world's against you, the devil's against you, your own flesh is against you. You're going up current, but can I tell you this? The grace of God, greater is He who is in you than he who is in the world. You'll have a satisfaction on the inside that compares to nothing else. So stop, just stop focusing on what the world does. They try to, we just got to get rid of all of the problems. Listen, as soon as you solve your three biggest problems, there is another 10 right around the corner. Wait, no, as soon as you get relief in one area, guess what? There's a phone call, there's a curveball coming, there's something. Some of you, you live in a forest of problems. You're like in a sea of problems. Let me tell you the key about problems. Stop focusing on how to fix them all and learn to live above. And then all of a sudden, your problems won't be your problems. They'll be your opportunities. And all of a sudden, you won't even see, but you won't even notice what the problems are anymore. Because you've based your life on hope, on the internal, in Christ, in the picture of your preferred future, and you know that God's word is true and God's word is sure, you're going to delight yourself in the Lord and you're going to move towards that preferred future, and there's going to be blessing after blessing after blessing in your life, your faith, your family, your finances, your relationships. Because you're abounding in hope. Don't lose your hope. You know, I can remember when I was a boy, talking about a picture of a preferred future state. I remember when I was a boy, and I was always athletic and stuff and played a lot of sports. But when I got into middle school, I kind of got out of it for a while, and I got kind of overweight and lazy and that kind of deal. And then one day, me and a couple of my buddies, we went to a movie starring Arnold Schwarzenegger, Conan the Barbarian. See, that's what I need. That's the kind of response I needed for the man conference. And so we go to this movie, and I don't know if it's maybe I'm getting too old. Maybe some of y'all don't remember the old Arnold, like Arnold back in the day. Now, I know Arnold now, he's having his problems. He's having his issues. Let's pray for him. You know, but back in the day, just show a picture of the old Arnold back in the day. Look at that guy. Is that massive? So, okay, you can take him down. So anyway, back in the day, so he came out with all these, Conan the Barbarian, and really the whole movie was just like about Arnold flexing and stuff like that, and he'd beating people up, and he'd usually just have one line in the entire movie, and it would be something like, I'll be back. You know what I'm saying? Or I will crush you. It was just so he can flex all that stuff. But we went to this movie, and all of a sudden, I thought, man, I want to be like Arnold. Man, he's so in shape. So I actually got a poster and put it on my wall, Arnold Schwarzenegger, flexing it. And me and my friends started hitting the gym, and I mean, we started working out. We had this picture of what we wanted to be like. And so I worked out for years, and when I got to 18, now, I've never shown this picture before, but I actually went into a bodybuilding contest, and here's what I look like. Look at that. Look at that. I know I've lost a little bit. No, actually, that was false hope. That was false hope. You know, I never looked like Arnold Schwarzenegger, but I did get in shape. I didn't have the genetics, the DNA, or enough money to buy all the steroids to look like that. But what I'm saying is this about the picture of our preferred future. So many people, they get a picture of something real, but it's just a false hope. Because they haven't delighted themselves in the Lord. And see, when you delight yourself in the Lord and when you're ready to say, God, I'll put you first in my life. See, it's your life, but God wants you to do it His way. And when you make that decision, all of a sudden, God begins to birth dreams and desires. And it's like two perfectly fitting pieces of a puzzle. And all of a sudden, God begins to paint through His Word and through the Holy Spirit on the inside of you a picture of the most incredible preferred future, His plan, His call for your life. It is what will fulfill you the most, will please God, and will make a difference for all eternity. It is a picture of your preferred future. Listen to what it says. The Lord is faithful to all His promises and loving towards all He has made. What is the picture of your preferred future for your faith, marriage, finances, relationships, physical health, and everything else? God wants you to see that. He wants you to move in that with hope. 1 Corinthians chapter 13. Real quickly, let me give you this scripture. You've heard this before. And now abide, three big things here. And now abide, faith. Everybody say faith. Hope, everybody say hope, and love. These three, it says, and many of us are familiar. Okay, here's the big three: faith, hope, and love. Now, we hear a lot about faith, right? Faith is our vertical relationship with God. We hear a lot about love, right? Love is our horizontal relationship with one another. We have faith in Jesus. Therefore, He sheds His love in our hearts, and we demonstrate that love. We love one another. We love our neighbor, all that. So faith is the vertical relationship with God. Love is the horizontal relationship with one another, but it says faith, hope, and love. It's interesting. Here's this concept of hope that interconnects and actually links faith and love together. How many of you drink energy drinks from time to time? Anybody drink energy drinks? I drink them. I have some energy drinks up here. I mean, have you seen like how popular these energy drinks are getting these days? I know at our Orange Park campus, Chris Brooks, if you look at him right now, he's probably drinking one of these energy drinks. Chris drinks 5 to 6 Red Bulls a day. I'm not even going to say the illegal things that he, but Red Bulls, he'll drink a few of those. But here's Red Bull. Come on, drink one of these. You'll be as mad as a bull, right? Here's Amp. Get all amped up. All these energy. Here's Monster. Who likes Monster? I mean, we got a little vibe going here. Monster, you know, Monster's actually my favorite. I drank one of these the other day. Okay, now here's what I think what we want to do. We want to take them another offers right now, and we're going to go on about it. No, I'm only kidding. But you know why there's so, the energy drink thing is just, it's going like crazy all over America? It's because, you know, we're so busy, we're so fatigued, we're so exhausted, we have so much to do. The thing is, it's not that we don't know what to do. We know what we need to do. You have your to-do list, you have your job, you have your work. You know what you need to do. You just don't have the energy to get it all done. In other words, energy drinks don't help people figure out what they need to do. We know what we need to do. It's just we don't have the energy to get it all done. See, that's how hope works with faith and love. If you don't have hope, you'll know what the Bible says. You'll know what the Word says about a lot of things, but you won't have the energy, you won't have the drive for your faith to be living and active. It's the same thing with love. You'll know you're supposed to help so-and-so. You know, you'll kind of want to do this, but without hope, it's not genuine. You don't have the energy to put love in action. You don't have the energy to put faith in action. That's why hope is so crucial to faith and love. Hope is the sustaining energy. Everybody say sustaining energy. Hope is the sustaining energy. This is on your screen. It will be there in just a second. Hope is the sustaining energy. The sustaining energy for faith and love. Hope is what gives you the energy for your faith to work. Hope is what gives you the energy for your love. This is what we have in the body of Christ. For most of us, it's not a problem of we don't know. It's that we don't have the energy to carry it out. We've lost hope. We don't see how things could get better. Our relationship with God can become dutiful. It can just become something obligatory. We go to church because we know we're supposed to go to church. And that's good. You know, we do things regardless of how we feel and all that kind of stuff. That's the mark of maturity. But, you know, God wants you to go to a higher level. Hope will give you the energy. Hope is the Red Bull or the Monster energy drink to get through your day. It's what keeps you pursuing that picture of your preferred future, regardless of the difficulties, regardless of the challenges, regardless of the mistakes. You've got to have hope. That's what makes it, man, I have hope. With God, it's never too late. With God, all things are possible. With God, all my sins are forgiven. With God, He can somehow fix this. With God, He can turn this all around. With God, this is not too hard. Thank you, all three of you. Look what it says here in Colossians chapter 1. Colossians chapter 1, verses 3 through 5. It says, "We give thanks to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, praying always for you, since we heard of your faith." Everybody say faith. Faith in Christ Jesus and your love for all the saints. Everybody say love. "Because of the hope which is laid up for you in heaven." So here's what the Apostle Paul says. He says, man, your guys' faith is amazing. We remember faith, hope, and love. We've heard of your faith. And man, not only that, your love is amazing. I mean, we've heard of your love. But you know what he says? He says, your faith is working so well and your love is working so well because of the hope. See, hope is the sustaining energy that makes faith and love work. It's because of hope that their faith was renewed. It was because of hope that their love was renewed. Hope is it's the missing link. It's the misunderstood concept, I believe, so much in the church world today. We focus so much on faith, and that's great. We focus so much on love. That's huge. I mean, we love Him because He first... I'm not undervaluing those. What I'm saying is we need to lift hope up in the same category. These three: faith, hope, and love. You got to get your hope back. You got to know that God is for you. When you do that, that will ignite a passion, the energy, the preferred future state, and all of a sudden, you'll get back on your feet and you'll start moving forward in what God has for your life. Can you give God a hand? for that. Hope is the lifter of your burdens. Hope is the key to contentment. Remember when Paul said, hey, I know how to be content, whether everybody likes me and I've got everything going on and I got more than enough, I'm content in that. Or if everybody's against me, I have nothing, and I mean, you know, I'm in all these difficulties and trials. You know what he says? He says, I've learned the key to contentment. What is he talking about? He says, I have something greater on the inside. The hope of his glory, the hope of his calling. I know that God is in control, so I can, regardless of if I got a lot of problems or a few problems, I'm in a good mood or a bad mood in this season of life, I rely on that hope on the inside of me, and that elevates me above my circumstances. Hope can only come from Jesus. The world cannot manufacture hope. The world cannot counterfeit hope. It is what everybody is looking for in the world today. Not a wish, not a want, but it's true hope with what they is what they are missing. It is what only Jesus can give. And more than anything, it is what his sons and daughters are called to demonstrate. Will you demonstrate hope in your life? Will you show people that God has not given up on you and therefore God will never give up on them? Come on, give God a hand. Don't lose your hope. It talked about that Abraham hoped against hope. It means he relied on his hope in God and the hope of his preferred future. God had promised him, you know, your descendants are going to be like the sands of the sea and all these kind of promises. But there were times in Abraham's life where in the natural, the natural was speaking the opposite of that. He was hoping against what the world would call hope, basing things on circumstance and what you could see. God's called there's going to be seasons in your life where you're going to have to hope against hope. In other words, you're going to have to rely on God and hoping in him and his word and that picture above what everybody, your circumstance, and everything else is telling you. Sometimes you've got to hope against hope, but don't lose your hope. If you look all through the Bible, so many biblical characters, it was hope. It was hope that kept them going. It was hope that kept them moving forward. And God was faithful and came through. You've got to believe against all odds, regardless of your failures, your disappointments, your mistakes, the pain, what's going on in your life. Know that God is with you and you can have hope in Jesus and he will never disappoint you. And the last thing is, and I'll close with this, hope is the anchor of the soul. Hope is the anchor of the soul. Look at Hebrews chapter 6, verse 19. It says, this hope we have is an anchor of the soul, both sure and steadfast. This hope, it serves as an anchor. It's not just a confidence. It's not in what is true. It's not just a picture. It's not just the energy for faith and love to work in your life and to keep you motivated and not depressed. But hope also serves as an anchor. Do I have a few fishermen in the house? A few of you guys fishermen? Well, you know, if you're a fisherman, you know how important an anchor can be, especially if you fish on the coast near rocks or near jetties. And so what you do, I go fishing, you know, when I can, I love fishing. And whenever we're near rocks, you better hope that your anchor holds. Because if the anchor doesn't hold, if, you know, the currents start getting strong or if big waves start to come, if that anchor gets uprooted, it could wash your boat into the rocks and there could be a huge accident. It's very, very dangerous. And what the Bible's saying is this, is that hope serves as an anchor to your soul and it is sure, it is steadfast. Regardless of the storms that come, regardless of how rough the seas are, regardless of how strong the currents are against you, true hope in God, it serves as an anchor and it keeps you centered in the storms of life. So here's what some of you need to do. You need to get hope back and you need to drop that anchor right there in your heart. And here's what's going to happen. Here comes a marriage storm. Here comes a marriage wave. Here comes a trial. Guess what? You might get moved over a little bit, but hope's going to keep you centered, and eventually it's going to bring you right back into the purposes of God. You know what? You might just have a time of weakness and do something stupid, do something that you never thought you would do, sin, just do something like a bonehead. Make a bonehead decision. You know what? That, you know, and then the devil comes in to condemn you, whatever. And, you know, you might get blown over here, but you keep your hope. God forgives me. There's no condemnation in Jesus Christ. And that hope eventually pulls you back. That storm, the news comes, the report about, you know, a health issue or some kind of news about your job or whatever it is. That storm, it'll push you over. You got hope, you're centered, and you'll eventually come back. The whole world, you know what? They're being tossed, as the Bible says, to and fro, all over the place. Completely subject to the circumstances around them and the seasons and the moods of life. The Bible says you're to be different. God wants you anchored in hope. You might get washed a little bit this way or washed a little bit that way. But you'll stay centered in God's unchanging, unconditional love for you, no matter what. Get your hope back.
Thank you for joining us for this week's message. Our prayer is that it will help you to live a God-first life. For more information about Celebration Church and other available resources, please visit our website at www.celebration.org.